Now, it's the day of Pentecost. Now, for me, as an old Pentecostal, unashamedly, this is a fantastic day. When we think of Christmas, it has been said, is God with us, Emmanuel. Easter, it has been said, is God for us. Pentecost, it has been said, is God in us. The power of God come upon us. So if you're listening this morning on the website or across the world, and by the way, there are people in Florida who are regularly listening in to our services each week, as well as people in Holland. So, isn't that interesting? That should happen. Pentecost has always been a holiday. In Israel, it was a celebration of the harvest. But to the church, it's a celebration of the Spirit. We're not talking about a harvest of grain. We're talking about a harvest of the Spirit of God coming upon us. And because of what happened on the day of Pentecost, we reap a harvest of power to be witnesses, a harvest of an ability to be renewed and transformed. Why do so many followers of Jesus look like they're sucking a wasp? We need God in our life to energize us. It is a harvest of life that brings in His presence. His power abundantly available to everyone who believes. Just to remind us of what we said earlier, as we watched that little cartoon thing, I kind of love the way those little cartoon disciples go, hello. I just think that's fantastic that they do that. And when the day of Pentecost came, Acts chapter 2, they were all together in one place, 120 followers of Jesus, crammed into a room. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. I mean, like, whoa. Gathered there waiting for this promise that no one had any idea what this looked like, what this would involve, what was going to happen. Jesus had simply said, stay in the city until the promise of the Father comes upon you. And there they were, waiting in that upper room. And suddenly, there's a noise like a mighty wind, but there isn't any wind. And then we have these tongues, these flames of fire resting on people. What on earth is going on here in this morning? Do you know, I believe, church, that we need a harvest of the Spirit of God in our lives once again. We are so good at shouting answers to questions nobody's asking. We are so good at entertainment on our Sundays. We're so good at doing well everything that doesn't need doing. We need a harvest, a transformation that will get us back on course. As witnesses, we can't afford to stop seeking to be filled with the power of God. As a church, we can't afford to remain the same. We need to be transformed. NCC needs to be transformed. We are really good at lots of things, but we need to be really good at what God asks us to do. As his children, we can't afford to ignore his immediate presence. We can't stay the same. We need to be transformed. And as a church, we need that Pentecostal power once again to descend upon us. Harry T., an elder in a Scottish Presbyterian church in the 50s, wrote a famous hymn that most people don't know, because most people have never experienced a Pentecostal renewal in their churches. This is how it goes. And you'll soon find out who the old Pentecostals are in the midst of us in a minute. They were gathered in an upper chamber, as commanded by the risen Lord. And the promise of the Father, there they sought with one accord. And when the Holy Ghost from heaven descended, like a mighty rushing wind, so, dear Lord, we seek thy blessing. Come with glory now, our hearts inspire. And the chorus goes like this. Let the fire fall, let the fire fall, let the fire from heaven fall. We are waiting and expecting, now in faith, dear Lord, we call. Let the fire fall, let the fire fall, on the things we depend. From the glory of thy presence, let the Pentecostal fire descend. It's a beautiful hymn. And it talks of the power of God coming into the church and transforming the church. Oh, how we need that. In Acts 1, verse 4, we read this. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about." That's Jesus talking. And then 4 verses later, he says this, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." You'll notice that Jesus doesn't say you might receive power. He doesn't say you might consider being my witnesses. He commands us, backed by a promise. You will be my witnesses here, there, and everywhere. And I will back that up by filling you with my Spirit. Isn't that amazing? A command and a promise, all linked together. Lady goes to the jeweler's. She's bought this fancy watch. She's taken it back. It's not working. She asks the jeweler to sort the problem out. He disappears into the back room. He comes back 30 seconds later, gives her her watch back. It's working perfectly. All it needed was a battery. She'd been winding it up every day. That's exactly what the Christian life is like for so many people. Sometimes we wear silly clothes in our churches. Sometimes we do silly things in our churches. Sometimes we busy ourselves with things that don't need doing in our churches, and we wonder why nobody gets saved. We wonder why the gospel seems to just bounce off the lives of everyone we share with. I'll tell you why. Because we're lacking the power of God within us. Oh, how we need the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Oh, how every one of us needs to be open to the baptism of God's Spirit, to fill us, to energize us, to put that battery within us that gets us going and moving. A lot of Christians actually don't understand and try and handle things in their own strength. That's why it doesn't work. You see, I am sharing his gospel, not my gospel. And I'm doing it in his name, not my name. And I'm doing it with his power, not my power. And that power is available to us to complete the task before us in this harvest. It's not about ingenuity. It's not about programs. It's not about clever slogans. You can slap any slogan on your church door that you like. That's not going to make things work. We are experts today at having clever strap lines. We love it. But we never stop to wonder why. Why society is rushing to destruction. I watched an internet clip yesterday that made me sick to my stomach. And it was a clip that came from the United States, and it opens with someone on a cross. Tied to a cross, and on comes another man in a pair of very tight underwear who begins to carouse around this figure on a cross and climb all over him with lewd acts. And this was an LGBT meeting that descended into absolute disgusting debauchery, all centered around this figure on a cross. God help them. The wrath of God will descend upon the nations. But the mercy of God and the grace of God is greater still. And oh, how our Father would love those people to come home and turn from their wicked ways. The only way that's going to happen is for you and I to allow the power of God to fill our lives, to embolden us, to preach the gospel, and to stand up tall in this broken society and share Jesus with all these people in all his glory, in all his power. He has promised us the fullness of the Holy Spirit and the backing of all of heaven. Oh, church, if only we'd believe this. Do you know, God did not commission his church to do his work without giving us the ability to do that. That's why they were asked then to wait in Jerusalem. You and I don't need to wait in Jerusalem. The Spirit came on Pentecost all those years ago. And he is freely available to every single one of us today. See, the message of Acts 1:8, let me simply say this to you. It's quite simple. Apart from the Holy Spirit, none of us can preach the gospel as God wants it preached. It's quite simple. But with the Holy Spirit, we can make such a difference. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4 and 5, check this out. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words. This is Paul, the apostle, speaking. But with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. Can I suggest that we're too obsessed with winning an argument today than seeing a miracle? What if we were to simply tell the truth, backed up by the power of God, and get away from this idea that we're just going to argue with everyone? Last man standing wins the day. Come on. Imagine if we just released that faith soaked in the power of God. That's why the baptism of the Holy Spirit is so important to every believer. That's why Pentecost is not just another day in the calendar. This is the day everything changed. This is the day when the God who came amongst us and the God who died for us became the God who dwells in us. It's so important that we embrace this. You see, what Paul is saying here is simply this, that this is really just a way of saying that the church will be putting more emphasis on external show, how great our services are, how fine our buildings are, how wonderful our bands are, how great our preachers are. No danger of that here, eh? At least not when I'm on. We just want to talk truth. We're focused on that rather than internals. The power of the Spirit moving through us and in us. You see, I believe that we need to be a church that seeks the baptism of the Holy Spirit as normal experience for empowering believers to preach the gospel, not for Sunday entertainment. You know, the human body is a remarkable piece of engineering. Dorothy will confirm this if you don't believe me. She's a retired doctor. But at 98.6 degrees Fahrenheit or 37 degrees centigrade, it doesn't matter where you are on the planet, the body will maintain its temperature. Unless you take off all your clothes and go to the North Pole or something and stand around for a while, obviously that's going to make a difference to you. But generally speaking, the body holds its temperature. It's a remarkable piece of machinery, no matter what the weather's like outside. And whether we can understand that or not, when we take that into the spiritual, it starts to make sense. You see, when the Spirit of God is indwelling us, then we are constantly in that place where we're going to be effective and used by Him. It's an inner mechanism that makes a difference. The Holy Spirit is that inner mechanism in a believer's life. We need the Holy Spirit because we need to be transformed. I need to be transformed. One of the ways the Holy Spirit works to transform us, originally he took a group of fishermen and former prostitutes and ex-religious leaders and tax collectors and various family members of Jesus and other disciples, and he forms them into a united group and he calls it the church. Nothing else in the world could have formed that together. There's not another cause on earth that could cause such a diverse group of people like us to come together. It is the power of God who does these things. In the normal course of life, most of us wouldn't meet one another because we're all so different. We have different interests, we have different jobs, we go different places, all sorts of things. I mean, who on earth would ever have thought that a guy from Zimbabwe would be friends with a boy from a Scottish council estate? How does that work? But that's how God works. He transforms us like that. And before Pentecost, these disciples were scared people. They lacked faith. They didn't fully understand God's plan. But after the Pentecostal fire fell, they were united as never before. Nothing earlier had welded them into this effective force. It took the fire of God's Spirit to do that amazing thing. It's confession time. Now, you're all getting excited now. You think something salacious is coming, don't you? I wanted to be a blacksmith. I enjoyed metalwork at school. I was rubbish at it. I made a keyhole and proudly took it home to my father, who interestingly explained to me what sort of use was that keyhole. And I thought, after the initial disappointment, I thought, you've got a point there. Bin. But I enjoy that, and I love watching a blacksmith work. If we pass a forge, I'll linger and watch. I love it. And I love the way that he can take two pieces of cold, hard metal and stick them in the fire. And when they're red or white hot, to put one on top of the other, and with a hammer, after a few whacks, the two become one. They weld together, they forge together. That's what the Spirit does with us. It takes God's Spirit to do that. And this society won't be transformed, brothers and sisters, until the church is transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Matthew 3:11, Jesus says this. I beg your pardon. John the Baptist says this. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. We talked a lot about that in our Bible study in the week. Isn't that amazing? John is baptizing for repentance there in the Jordan River. And he says, look, this is but a foreshadow. Someone's coming, and I'm not even worthy to do up his shoes. He's the one who'll baptize you with power. You impressed with this repentance baptism? Watch what's going to happen next. That's what John is saying. And along comes Jesus. Of course, how wonderful is that? We can't afford to ignore his immediate presence. In Acts 2:3, we read this. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. When Moses was dedicating the tabernacle, when Solomon was dedicating the temple, both of those places where the presence of God dwelt. We read this in Leviticus 9:24 regarding the tabernacle. Fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat portions on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted for joy and fell face down. And when Solomon was dedicating the temple, when Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. On Pentecost, fire came down. And Paul later writes this, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who's in you, whom you've received from God? You're not your own." You see, at Pentecost, individual believers had these tongues of fire over them, supernatural from heaven. And once again, God sends his fire to demonstrate from now on where his presence will dwell. It's not in a temple this time. It's not in a tabernacle. It's in a believer. We are the temple of God. He desires that his presence dwells within us. And the church will become the dwelling place of God. Now, often we forget our spiritual maintenance. One of my favorite stories was the Rose Day Parade in the United States, a big tournament, big parade, famous thing. And one of the floats that was leading that suddenly broke down, and it transpired that it had run out of fuel. It just so happened that that float was the Standard Oil Company's float. How embarrassing. Someone had to run with a petrol can and get some petrol to fill up the Standard Oil Company's float, so that the whole parade could move forward. And that's what happens in the spiritual life too. We read this, don't we, in the parable of the five wise and foolish, five foolish virgins, how some have no oil and others have their torches burning brightly. Don't neglect your spiritual maintenance. In a tabernacle, the fire in the altar was to be constantly kept alight day and night, constantly. It was to be attended to round the clock so it would never go out. And so must the fire of the Spirit of God in our lives. It should never go out. And if ever there's a moment when you find me or any of the elders in this church moving away from this thinking, you come and talk to us. You come and challenge us. You come and say, Ken, no, that is not what we're about. Because we want God. We want Jesus front and center in everything we're doing. Don't ever allow me or anyone else to lead us in any other direction. We read in Thessalonians 5, do not quench the Spirit. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Because it's quite possible to do that. So NCC, we need to be transformed. This is a beautiful day to talk about transformation. When we think of what happened, it's the people of God that walk in the Spirit, flow in His gifts, cherish His presence, stir up the fire that's placed within us. Because this is what's going to make a difference in these last days. And just to end, I'm just going to read you that old hymn again. They were gathered in an upper chamber as commanded by the risen Lord. There they sought, and the promise of the Father. There they sought with one accord. When the Holy Ghost from heaven descended, like a rushing wind and tongues of fire, so dear Lord, we seek thy blessing. Come with glory now, our hearts inspire. Let the fire fall. Let the fire fall. Let the fire from heaven fall. We're waiting and expecting. Now in faith, dear Lord, we call. Let the fire fall. Let the fire fall. On thy promise we depend. From the glory of thy presence, let the Pentecostal fire descend. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, would you help us, please, to heed your word, to hear your word, to open our lives. Father, I pray that if there be any here today who have not opened their lives to the fullness of the Holy Spirit, then I pray, Lord, that you would move upon their hearts to receive prayer and just to be blessed in this incredible way. And for all listening, Lord, on the internet and beyond, exactly the same, Lord. We pray blessing and spiritual power upon them. Help them and help us to be your witnesses, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.